Just keep up the good work, gentlemen.
I also found out she cooks. I had that piece of cake, Amelia, and it was delicious. As a matter of fact, it was so good, I sent your daughter an email asking her to make a whole cake for me. So, you know, it's just being a pastor, I have certain privileges, I guess. That is one of them. Open your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 14. Sunday night, I was speaking to you on supper time with Jesus, and I'd just like to make a few more comments about that parable, the story that Jesus was telling concerning the great supper and the great invitation. And we're going to look at it a little bit more tonight, verses 15 through 24. Luke chapter 14, 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And this sparks on a spontaneous another parable by the Lord talking about the gospel invitation. And this great supper is an example of the gospel. And a certain man, verse 16, is actually God himself in this parable. And he said unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. And that's what the gospel is. It's an invitation to everyone. Amen. And verse 17, And he sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. In other words, we've invited everybody that we could think of. We've gone down streets and lanes, and yet there's still room. There's still room for more people to come to this great supper. And verse 23, And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into these highways and hedges, compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. That word compel is very important in this story. It talks about the need of people not giving up on people that reject the great invitation right away. And so that means persistence on the part of God's people to continually uphold others in prayer, to pray for all men and all that are in authority. Everyone needs prayer. And notice that verse 24, For I say unto you, none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And so tonight we're going to just go over a few more things that by way of review, and also some new things tonight about this great supper. And let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the privilege to come into your presence tonight together. And we ask that as we have heard the word of God, and now as we talk about it, that your Holy Spirit would impress upon us the things that you want us to remember, and things, Lord, that are important for us to know. May your will be done in our lives as we seek to please you tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we said, this story begins the story of a certain man. And in this story, that certain man is God himself. And the gospel supper was the invitation that was given out to everyone. And the gospel supper meets the need of every person. It meets the need of their body and their soul and their spirit. And this table, this great feast, symbolic of the gospel, God's table is loaded with good things. You know, it's nice to sit at a table that's got everything out there. Yeah. You know, Thanksgiving is a nice time of the year. Usually, if you're fortunate, you have a nice spread out there, and You got to ask, you know, to keep the food rotating, and so everybody gets a little bit of something. And usually there's something way on the other side of the table that I have to wait to get, because we usually have an abundance of food at our Thanksgiving meal. And it's always nice to have a spread like that, and to have people around that you care about to share it with. But the table of salvation is loaded also with great things. And isn't that true of our salvation? For example, at this banqueting table of salvation, we have not the least of all is the forgiveness of sins. Aren't you glad God has wiped the slate clean? Amen? He has forgiven us. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12, please. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12. Someone like to read that for us tonight? 1 John 2:12, way in the back towards Revelation. First John 2:12.
I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven, you for his name's sake.
Amen. It's a great blessing, isn't it, to have your sins forgiven. All the transgressions from our youth up, all paid for by Christ. Well, what's another benefit of this spread, this great banquet feast? We have rest for our weary souls. Matthew 11:28. Someone like to read that one? Matthew 11:28. Sword drill time, huh?
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
All right, rest, right? Rest. We can rest in the Lord. Also, Romans 5:1. At the banqueting table of salvation, we have peace. Peace in our heart. Peace with God. Peace with others. So many people are in turmoil all the time. Romans 5:1. Anybody have it? Sal? Romans chapter 5.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus
Christ. All right, VJ's quick on the gun back there. Sal, I'll give you the next one. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Amen. No longer at war with God. No longer at odds with God. He is our friend. He is our Savior. So we have peace with Him, peace in our heart, and we have peace with others. Also, Sal, John chapter 15. Go, verse 11. At the banqueting table, not only forgiveness and rest and peace, we have joy. John 15:11. Take your time. There's nobody going to beat you to the draw. 11, yeah.
Okay. These things I have spoken to you, that you may joy, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full.
Amen. Joy, joy, joy. Three times in one verse. Okay. These things have I written unto you, that my joy might remain in you, my joy might be full. Satisfaction. Satisfaction. Also at the banqueting table, eternal. Eternal life. Romans 6:33. Romans 6:33. Go. Who'd like to take that one? Romans 6:23.
Romans 6:23.
Romans 6:23.
All right,
I made a mistake. 23.
The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ.
All right. Thank you. Oh boy. I'm glad that was not a big sin on my part. Just I missed that number. Typing can be gruesome at times. But the gift of God is eternal, never-ending life. What a wonderful thing at the banqueting table of our Lord. Also, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Going to make you work tonight. Keep you awake. Ephesians 1, 3. Go ahead, Isaiah.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us
All spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. You know, God's salvation is called so great for many reasons. We named just a few of them. And it's so great mainly because it costs so much. It's so great because of what it includes. Isaiah started reading Ephesians chapter 1. And let's all turn there for a moment. Ephesians chapter 1. There's a whole list that Isaiah started reading there. And he took us to verse 3. Look at verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him. Are you ready for this? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And then verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the down payment until the time that we will totally be with the Lord Jesus Christ, until the purchased possession, when the Lord takes possession of us. Amen. I was thinking of Mr. Miller's daughter. The Lord took possession, full possession of her this past week as she went home to be with the Lord and with her mother. Isn't that something? Mr. Miller has Rob. Mrs. Miller has Joy. Mrs. Miller and Joy are in a far better place. But that's reality to the Christian. We know that's true. Amen. And this banquet is so great because of all these things we've talked about. And of course, it is so great also because that it includes Jesus. I mean, he is there. He is the one we're going to see, the one who died for our sins. We also mentioned Sunday night that the servant went out and invited people to this feast in Luke chapter 14 and verse number 17. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, all things are now ready. The servant represents the Holy Spirit who invites people to trust Christ as Savior. It's the Holy Spirit that compels people. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts people. It's the Holy Spirit that motivates God's people to warn others, to point people, to help people, to bring people to Jesus. Tonight, any person that's a burden on your heart that's lost, that burden is there because the Holy Spirit put that burden there on your heart. Amen? And so that is something that we always need to pray about and be concerned about, and to pray for those that God places in our life and those that he burdens our heart. The Bible says that the Spirit strives with men. The Holy Spirit strives with men and challenges men to believe on him. The Holy Spirit reproves and convicts and regenerates. He indwells. He fills his people when certain conditions are met. The Holy Spirit seals us. He leads us. And as I said, he strides with men. Thank God for the Holy Spirit's work on earth. And he is the one that is working today in our midst. 2,000 years ago, Jesus himself was in our midst. And all of the things that people saw of him, he was the main figure. Right now, the Holy Spirit is the main figure on earth. And he is in the midst of his people. He's in the midst of his church. And in this parable, we see the Lord's great desire to have all people come to this great supper. And the world may not understand our persistence when they say no, but it really doesn't matter because God's people are always desirous to keep at it. It's a lifetime goal to speak to people and to pray for people and to try to win them over to the Lord. We see lost people as folks actually committing suicide by rejecting this great invitation because we know what the end is. We know what is at the end of life. There's only two places that a soul can be. Amen? Either in heaven in eternal bliss or in the lake of fire in eternal destruction. And so we see people that are lost as folks that have a great need. And because of fallen man's nature, he has to be pressed on this issue over and over again. We shouldn't accept their excuses off the bat and say, okay, that's all. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. I'm not going to pray for you anymore. On the other hand, just the opposite should be true of us. Because man is bent in that direction, we need to just be persistent in our life and persistent in our witness and persistent in our desire to see a change in them. We mentioned also Sunday night, those who wished to be excused in verses 18 through 20. Basically, they just didn't want to go to the supper when it all comes down to it. All the reasoning they gave were just excuses. But, you know, it's no different than the excuses that people give today. I'm too busy, basically, a lot of people say today. Some say, I'm too bad. God wouldn't want me, or I'm not good enough, or they say the church is full of hypocrites, and why would they want another one, you know? I always like to say, well, hypocrites are closer to God than you then, amen? But some say I can't hold out, some say I'll lose my friends, some say I'm too young, some say I'm too old. A lot of people just say, have me excused, just like they did back then. As Jesus told that story, but that is the worst prayer that any person can pray, amen? To say, God, please have me excused from your heaven. God, please have me excused from accepting your son, Jesus. That's a terrible prayer for anyone to pray, but basically that's what people say when they're given excuses to God's great invitation. Lastly, we have the Savior, sadly, in verse 24, he is excusing them. And that is the danger of rejecting this great invitation. Notice he says, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Sometimes God does give up and says, you want to go your own way, I'll let you go your own way. And that's sad. Those are very solemn words. None of those I invited shall taste of my supper. And that's just tragic. Those who continue to say, Lord, have me excused, one day the Lord will say, you are excused forever. And that is a terrible thing to happen to anyone. Exclusion from heaven, in everlasting destruction from his presence and from his glory. But the supper is ready, and so we should be ready to accept it, since the supper is ready. God calls the young and the old alike and all ages in between. He calls us in our circumstances. Some people think, well, I'll give more attention to spiritual things when my circumstances change. God calls people in the midst of their circumstances, in the midst of their life unraveling, in the midst of their troubles, in the midst of their personal problems, amen, in the midst of their circumstances. While man is busily trying to figure out what life is all about and trying to overcome his problems, God is gently knocking at their door and saying, hey, I'm over here. I'm willing to make things better in your life. I'm willing to receive you. I'm willing to cause you to have some balance in your life and to show you that you are created for something far better than what you're experiencing right now. God, thank God, God is patient. Amen. But at times, God does say to people, that's it. You are excused. I remember being in school and asking, may I be excused? Back then, teachers had a little more leverage and they wouldn't always excuse you, you know. But it was always interesting, this how different teachers deal with young people. Can I be excused? Some teachers say, yes, you're excused. But to be excused from salvation is an excuse that you don't ever want to have. And so God calls at all ages and all times. And so thank God for His mercy and His patience with people. And as we have read tonight, 82-year-old woman accepting Jesus as Savior. I'll tell you what, to be in heaven, she's going to be really grateful to meet that missionary again in glory, amen, who gave up everything to go there. And each soul is a precious jewel in the crown of the Lord. And so it is also true in Garfield, New Jersey. Amen? Every soul that's touched, every soul that comes to the Lord is precious in God's sight. All right, well, we'll take some prayer requests tonight. Let's remember those in our church that are not feeling good. Those are sick. Danielle's out tonight sick. Louise called in tonight sick. She asked us to keep her in our prayers. Let's continue to pray for Mr. Miller. Not only in his health, but in the loss of his daughter. He talked to her for the last time. I think it was two or three days before she passed. They were discussing their Thanksgiving dinner plans. And he told her to make a list of everything that she needed, and he would make sure that he got it, and she would cook it, and he would eat it. And little did they know that would be their last conversation in this life. We really don't know how precious life is until things like this jog our memory. Amen? All right. Prayer request tonight. Anastasia. Yes. We want that Christmas cantata to go well. So the Lord will be pleased and people, visitors would come and hear the story and God can speak to their heart about this great salvation that we've been talking about tonight. All right, other prayer requests tonight? Lynn?
Pray for a lot of work. Dawn, her son, Liam, is in the Marines, but he's going to be discharged because he got pneumonia. Now he has scar tissue on his lungs, and it's because they hesitated with the treatment. So he's in the process of getting out. Pray that he'll be able to get out for Christmas.
Okay.
To be with
them. Amen. Alrighty. Other prayer requests tonight? John?
Mrs. Victory, during the Christmas season. She's still Mrs. Past Directory.
Sure.
Well,
fortunately, she has a lot of family around her. And keep her in our prayers as well. So remember our missionaries tonight, especially Brother War and our brother down there in Cape Verde. Also think of our missionary in the Bronx, Brother Baker, and also preacher down in Hoboken, right? Their churches took a direct hit from the hurricane and they're putting the pieces back together again. All righty, well, let's pray for our church ministries, our Sunday school, our bus ministry, nursing home ministry, prison ministry. Also for our children as they go to school, that God will bless them and keep them safe. All right, we'll break up into our prayer groups at this time, all right? Teens can go downstairs with Brother Jonathan.